going to be in Philippians chapter number 1.
Philippians chapter number 1 this morning. All over the house. Right after the book of the Ephesians, you'll find the book of Philippians. Praise the Lord. I think the book of the Philippians is probably one of the most popular books in the entire Bible, in my opinion. I believe it's got some of the most read and most quoted verses in the entire Scripture. Oh, yeah. Philippians chapter number 1. Lord's been good to us, no matter how hard our valleys have been this week or how hard they'll be in the week that we're starting today. He'll be good to you. But I want to talk to you today about the rejoicing of the church at Philippi and the love Paul had for them is the same way that every church, not only our church, should have the love for their pastor, and the pastor should love that church. Paul had a special connection with this church, and we'll get into that in just a minute, but the Bible says Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, so all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. For our fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of the very thing that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you, all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. Grace and Father, we're just thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning, dear Lord. We're thankful for your love, your grace, your mercy. We're thankful for Jesus, the ark and the finish of our faith, Father. We're thankful for the sweet church, the fellowship that you allow us to have here at Friendship, Father God. Lord, I ask that you continue touching us, lead us, guiding us, and directing us in all things that we do here, Father God. I ask, dear Lord, you continue moving in the unusual way that you move here at the church, Father God. We feel the sweet Holy Spirit as soon as we enter the door, Father God. Lord, we ask that you just touch all those that are out sick this morning, Father. I ask, dear Lord, you pray for all of our lost loved ones. Father, there'll be one here today that's not saved, Father. I ask you, dear Lord, that you send the Holy Ghost to where they're at, that you'll save them before it's eternally too late, Father. And Father, we also ask, dear Lord, that you just touch the upcoming things that we have going on here and allow the love of the church to continue to grow, Father. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, we all know who the writer of this epistle is. If there was any doubt, it's now all been gone. It is the Apostle Paul. This is known as one of his prison epistles. So Timothy is not with him, Brother Kent. But because Paul's great love for Timothy as well, his son in the gospel, the one that he's bringing up, the one he wrote two epistles to let him know that how to become a man of God that he should become, Paul adds him into the greeting here. But all of Paul's greetings are met with letting them know that he's either a servant, a prisoner, or a loyal apostle to Jesus Christ. He's not called of man. He's not called of the world. He lets you know very, very clearly that, hey, I am a man of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. He says to the saints in Christ Jesus. So we know this is to the church at Philippi. Those Philippians over there, Brother Eddie, first met the Apostle Paul when he had that vision in Acts chapter number 16 that he was supposed to go to Macedonia and not to where he was headed. And when he woke up, Paul was obedient. So, you see, this tells you right here, this epistle would never exist if Paul was not obedient to the will of God. Because Paul could have woke up and continued going to where he was going to, and you would have never heard of people like Linda. You would have never found the Philippian jailer in the Bible because he would have been a disobedient servant. But aren't you glad today Paul was a faithful servant to what Jesus Christ asked him to do? So we get this wonderful epistle, Brother Kent, that you'll continuously find words of joy, rejoice, rejoiced, and rejoicing. It is an epistle of joy. If you look in this epistle, I think that's why it's so popular, Brother Eddie. It's because the day and hour we're living in, you do not see a lot of joy in the world. So you have to turn to the Scripture to find your joy. You have to turn to Jesus to find that joy. You have to turn to God to find true joy in your life. Do you remember the Bible, the song that says, weeping may endure the night, but what joy cometh in the morning?
Amen.
You will not find joy without Jesus Christ in your life. And Paul writes this epistle to let this church know how much he loves them. How much he cares for them. If the first 11 verses of this epistle is a prayer that Paul was letting them know that I pray for you every day. I remember everything that you've done for me from the first day that I stepped foot in Philippi. When the first day I met that woman named Linda over there who opened the door and let me in. The first day when I was locked up over there and I met a Philippian jailer as I was praising and singing at the midnight hour, and he got me out of my shackles, and God got him out of his shackles, but he got him out of that prison cell and walked him on out, and he took him on to his house and he opened the door for him.
Amen.
And he let him come on in and stay. And guess what? The result of that, his whole family was saved.
Amen.
See, the obedience of God is important. In verse number 3, Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Church, the church should do the same thing today. The pastor should pray for his congregation. And the congregation should pray for their pastor.
Amen.
Paul says that I remember you in everything that I do. Church, I lay down at night, and each night I picture where you sit at in your pew. Besides Amy and Rocky, I just got to remember them. They bounce all over the place. And I pray for each one of you. I just don't say, sister, because I pray for Friendship Baptist Church. I pray for individually by name. I call your name out. I send your name to the throne room of grace. And Paul's saying that's what he's doing here. Could you imagine how long Paul, the conversion, and the people that Paul met at Philippi, how long he sat down upon his knees, or as he was walking, or as he was somewhere in prison, and the whole time he is having a prayer meeting, because he says in every book that he wrote, in every epistle that he put his name upon, he said, I make mention of you all, always in my prayer. He said, we got to pray for each other.
That's right.
Amen.
If a church loves their pastor, they'll pray for him. If the pastor loves his church, he'll pray for him.
Amen.
That's right.
Problem today is, congregations aren't praying for pastors, and pastors aren't praying for the congregation.
Amen.
Paul loved this church so much that he said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. I can be certain places and I can see certain things going on, and it makes me think of some of y'all at the church.
Yes.
It makes me think of some of the things we've done. I have conversations with people, and I bring y'all in the conversations as we're talking, and I'm talking with other preachers and with other Christians. I'll talk and I'll be like, and we'll have those conversations. It's because the remembrance of you. And that's the way you should be. With each other. Anytime we sit there and we have remembrance of our brothers and sisters in Christ, we should be thankful for.
Amen.
Even the ones that's gone on to glory, you should be thankful in remembrance for them. You don't have to pray for them no more. They're perfectly fine. They ain't hurt, they're not sick, they're not upset. But I tell you what, But guess what? That cloud of great witness that you have over you, you should be thankful for. Because you know what? Those saints that died before Paul did in Philippi, guess what? There was that cloud of great witness that he had witnessed to them, that he had told them, that he had loved them, that set above them, that kept them going.
Amen.
A church that loves each other. A church that cares about each other. And there's four chapters, 104 verses, 2185 words, you'll find such great passion of joy for the preacher to the church and the church to the preacher. I'm not only talking about me. You should be thankful, remember, for every pastor that ever passed your way. Every evangelist, every missionary that you love, that you got close contact with. You should be thankful for them. And you should pray for them. Everyone that walks by, I lay down at night, Brother Ed, and I don't know, I pray for y'all, but I pray for something, man of God, that's been in my life, that's helped me out. I said, Lord, I just want you to touch them, touch their church. I don't know all their church's members' names, trust me. But I do know some of them. And chances are, I don't know the name, I affiliate them with the church. But Paul said, I do this every time I remember you. I thank God. Imagine sitting in that prison cell where he was at. And this church at Philippi went through his mind. All the rejoicing he must have had of the times he had there.
Right.
And he didn't have the easiest times we had there. Mm-hmm. Remember, he got locked up. I think he says that in verse number 5. He said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He said, from the first day, y'all loved me and I loved y'all. You cared for me and I cared for you. I'm talking about we stood together. People a lot of times think Paul had nerves of steel, Brother Ed, but I believe the Bible says in James chapter number 5, it said, and I believe Paul was just like this. He was a subject unto like passions as we are. I don't believe he had nerves of steel. I believe he had some times where he was nervous, Sister Amy. I believe Paul had times where he was fearful at times. I believe Paul was upset at times. But guess what? He said, every time I done something, every time I was scared, every time my nerves felt down, every time I felt down, I remembered a church over there in Philippi that got down on their knees for me, that loved me, that prayed for me, that cared for me.
Amen.
He said, I didn't go at it alone. Every church, let me say, every preacher, everybody who's ever been in the ministry, they needed some churches that were like the Philippians.
Yeah.
They needed someone who believed what they preached.
Yes.
They needed somebody that would pass his messages on to others. I'm talking about they needed that. I believe they supported Paul financially while he was preaching others. I believe they helped him out when he was going along the road. If he needed something, I believe he could call on this church over there at Philippi and they'd do whatever they could to get it over there to him.
Yes.
They have to also supporting him verbally before his enemies.
Amen.
Woo! I'm telling you, that means when somebody was talking down about the Apostle Paul, you know what the Philippians done? Not over here.
That's right.
You take that on over there.
Yeah.
He's done flipped this whole world upside down over here in our little world. I ain't got time for you to listen to him. I ain't got time for you to talk down to him.
Right.
You ain't going to talk about my man of God that came over here and preached the gospel to me. I tell you what, I know Brother Bill Cook said one time, my grandpa, he says true preachers, he would always faithfully love no matter what they done, even if they done something wrong. He said, Brother Hubert, who led me to the Lord, and Brother Don Collins, who preached the night I was saved, he said, a man could stand up and could talk bad about those two men, and he said, I would stand firmly and tell them to pull up. Matter of fact, there was a time when they were going to jump on Brother Don Collins at a meeting because of what he preached on. And Brother Bill said, before you get to him, you'll have to go through me. And those two men turned around and walked right on out the door. Do you know why? Because he knew he was serious about what he was saying. I'm not letting you touch that man of God. I'm not letting you go to war against that man of God. We love him so much. They loved him so much. They said, not over here. You go run down somewhere else.
That's right.
But you ain't going to do it in front of me. Because can I tell you right now, if you listen to people while they're talking about a man of God,
you're just as guilty as they are.
That's right, amen.
That means you allowed it to happen. I brag on my teens all the time, Brother Eddie. I remember there was two young people that came into the church and I ended up preaching on homosexuality. And I made those two people so mad at me, they was ready to set fires and burn me at the stake. And went back to school, I believe they told me, and they were talking about, we won't go back there because we don't believe the same way. We believe your preacher's wrong. And if my record is correct, they told him, just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's not in the Bible, it's not true.
Right.
He was correct.
That's
standing up for your preachers. When people are talking bad about me, if you call yourself my friend, do me a favor. Stop calling yourself my friend if you're going to sit there and listen to them talk bad about me.
Amen.
You're no friend of mine.
Amen.
You're just like my enemies if you're going to sit there and indulge it and listen to them.
Right.
I had a preacher call me one time, and he said, hey, that preacher over there, you know this, and you know that, and yada, 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 and blah, 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 blah. I'm on the phone. I said, hey, look, if you want to ask him about his credentials and his qualifications to pastor a church or to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, do me a favor. Call him, not me.
That's
not my job. I'm not a qualifier. I'll never be a qualifier. I can sign your ordination paper. I can do all that, but I didn't ordain you. God did.
That's right.
Amen.
And a lot of them preachers like to use that verse, touch not thou God's anointing, to get away with sin. Listen, that's not getting away with sin. You're using the Bible the way that you want to use it.
That's
if you're
right.
doing something wrong, you deserve to get called out. But you should go to them, not to me.
That's right.
They wouldn't listen to that enemy talk about the Apostle Paul. No doubt back in Paul's day, there was a lot of talking about the Apostle Paul. As his Pharisees turned into a grace giver. As his Pharisees turned from believing in the old ways to believing in this new foolish way. And the church people thought, I don't know what you got a hold of, but what he gave me, I got a hold of something that was real.
That's right.
Amen.
I got a hold of something that was real that day. Church at Philippi also, they were praying for his success in preaching the gospel. Church, I know a lot of y'all work in classes, but when I'm able to go out to preach to other churches, you should be praying as I'm going.
Right.
You might not be able to come.
Amen.
You might not be able to join me. There's been times where it's just been me and Cole's been able to go to the church because somebody was sick and other people didn't have rides to meet me there. But guess what? I believe that I had people praying for me when I stood behind the pulpit and brought the Word of God. They knew Paul wasn't always going to be there. Paul was an evangelist. Paul was an apostle. Paul was going around starting churches. He was a church planner.
Amen.
And he could go around. But he knew one thing was for certain. This church over there in Philippi, no matter what all the other churches I wrote to, no matter what everybody else is saying about me, there's a church over there in Philippi that has the Philippians, and they have my back.
Amen.
There's a church over here in Danville, Virginia, that I pastor, that I love, that I care for, that I believe that has my back.
Amen.
The worst of the world can turn against me, and I believe you would stand with me.
Amen.
You'll stand with me and my wife as the rest of the world threw stones at us.
Amen.
I tell people all the time that we have the greatest church this side of eternity.
Amen.
They would disagree with me, as well they should. But I believe we have the greatest church this side of eternity. But Paul said in his time, the greatest church he ever planted, the greatest church he ever, they knew that he loved them. Through a vision of the Holy Spirit of God, he ended up where he ended up at. And Paul says that from the first day until now, sister. You know what that reminded me of, Sister Cook? It reminded me of David and Jonathan. What God had done for them, he had done for Paul and this church. He had done for Joshua Cook and this church. When God knits a soul together, the world will try to tear it apart. Right, Brother Ed?
That's right.
But it's not so. Paul said, I got some people praying for me while I'm preaching.
That's right.
He said, I got some people that stand in the gap when the devil's trying to attack me. When he's hitting at that thorn in my flesh. There's some people over there in Philippi that said,
That's right.
I stand up for them. I'll pray for him. You know why? Because I believe in what he preaches, and I'm praying for him while he's spreading the gospel, where he's going everywhere. Paul's in prison in this epistle, but he knew that this church in Philippi was still praying for him and his work and his missionaries and everything that he was doing. He knew that he had people that had his back from the first day, even until right now.
Amen.
They showed concern for his ministry when everything went wrong. Say, Brother Josh, nothing went wrong in Paul's ministry. I'm not going to preach on this. It'll be probably next week. But if you go verse 12 to 18, you'll find some things that was going on in Paul's ministry. He's more vocal about it then. But every real ministry needs those people. Needs those God-called people. I'm going to call them Philippians. They need Philippians in their life. They need people who will get down in their prayer closet at night when the Holy Ghost knocks on their heart and says, hey, your preacher's going through something. Your pastor's going through something. He needs some help. You need to get down on your knees because he ain't going to make it on his own. That's why so many pastors get up and walk out of their pulpit and quit going to church and don't even worry about preaching anymore. It's because the congregation didn't have their back. The congregation didn't say, hey, I love you. I'm praying for you. The congregation said, you know what? Just let them go. We'll find somebody else. Told a guy at church the other day, if I walk out of my pulpit and not go back, I believe I had four or five people at my door. Preacher, we need you back. Come back. My phone would blow up saying, preacher, I know life's hard right now, but come. We need you back. We need you back. God's not done working through you yet. We need you back. We need you to come back. Cole, you're not done singing yet. Come back with your husband. Life's been hard, but come on back. Come on back. Hey, no quitting yet.
That's right.
You can't quit till your toes are turned up.
Amen.
Can't quit yet, Josh. It's like some Christians, they get out and you try to bring them back. Like, hey, we missed you. I'll be there next Sunday. Didn't show this Sunday. We missed you. Everything all right? Church is not only a preacher's job to do that, but I see everybody in here this morning is pretty much the backbone of the church. The rest of them is either out sick or didn't get much sleep last night. But it's so easy to pick that phone up. We missed you. Won't come back. People, families going through things. Hey, won't you come to church with me? Come on with me. Life's been hard on you, but I know somebody who can help you out. It ain't me. But God can help you.
That's right.
Hey, can I pray for you? Brother, that's the type of people that every preacher in America. I'm telling you right now, I love all of you. I'm not trying to swear y'all's heads up. There's not a pastor in America that would not love you to be in their congregation right now. Do you know why? Because y'all are praying people. And if you're not a praying people, by the time we leave here today, I pray that you become a praying person. That you'll pray for me. You'll pray for your other brothers and sisters in Christ. You'll pray for this local church and this dark community. Because I couldn't even get the door shut. It seemed like somebody tried to break in again when I went back there to try to shut it. Somebody says, preacher, what are you going to do? They're breaking your church. I'm just going to get down, pray, come Sunday morning, and preach the same way I preach with a sound system. It don't matter. It don't matter.
That's right.
They were without form and void, and everything was dark one time in this world, Brother Eddie. But God said, I have exactly what I need.
Amen.
I have exactly what I need. He said, I have a church. He said, I gave Paul. Because Paul preached at this church and started this church. But God gave him this church. He knitted their souls together. He said, look, he said, they're going to stand by you, Paul. They're going to love you, Paul. And Paul, not only are they going to love you, but you are going to love them.
Amen.
You remember what God said the greatest thing he ever gave us was love. And guess who is love? God is love. And I tell you today, church, if we'll continue loving on each other, we'll continue praying for each other. And I'm talking about we always hold fast to faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of these is charity. So the gates of hell shall not walk through that door and prevail at anything. No matter how many times they try, they'll never get through.
That's right.
They might get on a pew, but they'll never get through.
Amen.
telling you, Paul loved this church. They wasn't afraid of him. You remember in the book of Acts, there was people that were afraid of the Apostle Paul.
Yes.
But what he done, when he got over there, they wasn't afraid of him. They accepted him. He said, even as it is meet for me to thank this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and my confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. He said, I love y'all so much. Y'all accepted who I once was. You accepted who I am now.
Amen.
And you've accepted what I will be.
Amen.
Without even knowing the future, you've accepted me. He said that, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you know what that means? That the man who started this church started a good work.
Amen.
And the Lord blessed that work. There's a couple preachers that came through that just didn't cut it out here. Then Brother Bill came along. And it was still a good work. Then I came along and I prayed, still a good work.
Amen.
But this good work will continue if we keep the things that Paul's telling the Philippian preacher right here. If we keep the things that will come. And you know what that day is? Until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what that is?
Amen.
That's the day of the rapture, brother.
That's right. Amen.
He says, I know y'all are going to love me, and this good work's going to continue going forward over there in Philippi until the day that Jesus Christ returns. Somebody says, well, preacher, over there in Europe don't seem like a lot is going on right now. There's people over there trying. There's people over there preaching the truth. There's people over there. That good work that Paul started, it might be a little smaller than this cap right here, but guess what? There's still a good work going on until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They can't stop it.
That's right.
Paul says it, man. Y'all always in every prayer. And I like reading the Bible backwards. I don't know if anybody's ever done that or not, but some of these verses mean a whole lot when you read from the bottom up.
Amen.
Like I've just done right there, verse 7, 6, 5, and now 4. Always in every prayer of mine, for you always making requests with joy. The good work I started became a good work because of the requests of God, who allowed me to bring you the joy only found in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What a friendship, brother. Mm-hmm. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. He said, I long to come back over there to Philippi. Mm-hmm. I want to come back. I want to preach again. I want to see my friends. I want to see them. I tell you what, Don Collins loved Friendship Baptist Church more than any other preacher I ever met. He talked about y'all's love from here, everywhere he went. He said one time he was in a multi-million-dollar church, stained glass, huge, big, nice and fancy. Might make somebody mad if they go back and watch it. I don't care. But he said, hey, I'd rather be back over there eating a tomato sandwich over there in Danville at Friendship Baptist Church than in this. Do you know why? Because of love. When the church loves each other, anybody who walks in feels it and knows it. We might get mad at each other. We might get upset at each other. We might want to fight each other sometimes. But if we ever let that get in the way of loving one another, then we are at fault for disrupting the Spirit of God.
That's right.
He said that, I want to be with you. Paul longed to be with them. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I long to be with you. Yesterday, just getting to talk to Jeff and Angie and walking with Brother Eddie, even though he got way in front of us at one point in time. I'm talking about, it was just such a great joy to sit and talk to them. When I get to sit and I get to talk to my wife and get to talk about things we're going to do at the church, and get to call Sister Cook and Daddy and Mama, and get to talk about some of the plans that I have that I would love to do, and see what they think about them. And I call Sister Amy, and I talk to Sister Amy, and I call Brother Eddie when I get in touch with Brother Kent, and I get to talk to them, and we get to have these conversations, and we're like, hey, man, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And they become great conversations, and that's what Paul said he longed for, but guess what? Back then, they didn't have telephones. Paul had to write. And that's why we got this great epistle this morning.
Amen.
Because Paul loved them. He longed to be with them. Man, what a friendship. Only made possible by the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You ain't got no Christian friends, I tell you right now, you better go get some.
Amen.
You ain't got no prayer warriors, you better go get some.
Amen.
You ain't got nobody that when you're going through a valley to get down and lift your name up to God, I encourage you to go get some.
Amen.
That's what Paul had here. He didn't have to write, the Holy Spirit would let this church know, hey, Paul's in prison again.
Mm-hmm.
His spirits are high, he's joyful. Mm-hmm. Will you pray for him real quick? You pray for him. Love without limits.
Amen.
Love has no limits.
That's right.
If you truly love one another, it has no limits. He says, and this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more. He said, I know you love each other. I know you love me, but I pray our love grows.
That's right.
I pray it don't stop. I pray that it continues going on. Not only in that, but in knowledge. Love brings knowledge. It brings knowledge of God. It brings them out. If love is God, then loving on one another and caring for one another brings you closer to God.
Amen.
And the knowledge of judgment. Woo. Well, then I get on that one this morning. And in all judgment. Huh. That means in all senses. That means in all senses. That means if you love one another, you'll continue to grow not only in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, but you'll be able to sense the other people who love you.
That's right.
You'll be able to see and look out and say, hey, I knew that was Satan just making me think that.
That's right.
I knew that was Satan that had me sitting there thinking that nobody cares for me, that nobody liked my messages, that none of my preacher friends loved me, that all of them, I must have said something to make all of them hate me. Once you get a hold to it, you'll realize that it was Satan doing nothing but lying to you. Because if you would have that conversation, you would learn it a whole lot quicker. But the thing of it is, a lot of us are scared to have that conversation. Because we don't want to hurt the other person's feelings because we truly love them. And could you imagine picking up the phone one day calling somebody you truly loved and them confirming everything that you believe. Everything the Spirit of God told you. That this person's been downing you. This person's been talking about you. This person hates you or dislikes you is a better word because hate is the equivalent of murder.
Mm.
They just, could you imagine what that would do to your heart?
Mm.
I told a guy the other day, I said, you know what? I said, even though they dislike me, even though they don't like me, that doesn't mean I can't love them.
Amen.
That's right.
I'll have to love them from afar because that's the only way it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Or we'll cause a discord in the brethren, and God does not like a discord in the brethren.
Right.
There's certain places that I know that I don't belong preaching at just because of those matters. They could call me and I would politely turn them down. It just happens. And God will let you know if that's okay or not. If they ever ask you to go somewhere to sing and the Spirit of God tells you no, then listen to Him. It's for a reason that you're not going over there.
Amen.
We just had a glimpse into Paul's prayer life. He tells them that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense of the day of Christ. He's saying there, he said, church, I've given you enough for you to be sound in doctrine to the day Jesus Christ comes.
Amen.
So what I preached there, what I've told you there, what's happened there with the deacons and the bishop that's been placed there, they have enough sound doctrine not only through me to give it to you, but my sound doctrine came from God. Your sound doctrine should also come from God. Because guess what? All Scripture is given in what? inspiration of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
So everything Paul wrote, this, whoo, think about that. This love letter that Paul writes to this church was given to him by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. That means the Spirit of God knew how much Paul loved this church and how much the church loved the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
That's love, church. If you don't get anything else out of this, you need to learn one thing out of this book. Rejoicing comes with love.
Amen.
The love that Paul had for this church. He said, being filled with the fruits of the righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praises of God. Nobody in here has got any use for a fruit that don't bear, a tree that's supposed to bear fruit that don't bear any, right?
Nope.
Told a young man the other day, we were sitting there talking about some of our families that say they're saved, but they live fruitless lives. I said, it's like when you look up an old peach tree. I love peaches. You look up an old peach tree and it's withered. All the peaches that's coming on are now rotten because they're not bearing any fruit. Or you look up and the vines have dry leaves. You know why? Because we'll know them by the fruits that they bear. Paul says here that being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praises of God. He says, when I think about the church at Philippi, I think about the fruit so sweet that's hanging off of those trees. The problem today is, church, we're not planted by the waters anymore.
That's right.
We're planted by the world.
Yes.
And until we get our roots down into the right places, your fruit will rot and fall off. The only way to get good fruit, Sister Tammy, is turn to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And say, I'll be righteousness. I'll stand up. I'll do what's right. But church, if you want to know the love of Jesus Christ and what He loved for Paul and what the pastor and the church is supposed to be, how they're supposed to love one another, how they're supposed to love on one another, how they're supposed to care for one another, how they're supposed to pray for one another. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look into that and we're going to figure out exactly what God wants out of us all. But today I want you to know He wants you to pray for me and He wants me to pray for you.
Amen.
That's right.
Bear the fruits of righteousness. Bear the fruits of righteousness. Well, gracious and Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Father, we thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Father God, I ask you, dear Lord, that you just take this message and put it on each person's hearts, Father God, Lord, that they'll continue to grow in Christ Jesus, Father. We thank you for the love that you show us in the Scripture for Paul and the church at Philippi and for the Philippians, dear Lord. Father, we ask, dear Lord, that there's one here today that's not saved, Father God. Lord, when we give the invitation, or one that's not living right, Father, or one that needs help in their prayer life, dear Lord, Father God, I ask you, dear Lord, that you'll just allow them to come up, Father God, and just to get it all right with you. They don't need me to pray with them. They don't need another man to pray with them. As long as they come to you, Father God, and ask you to help them out, dear Lord. I believe faithfully in my heart. The Bible says that there's only one mentor in between man and God, and it is Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask you, dear Lord, that you'll help them out. Every head out, every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you a question today. Do you know without a shadow of a doubt in your heart that you've been saved? That you are part of the church? The church is not this building. The church is me and you, it's the body of Christ. We went to go walk for a church in the Philippines. But the church was already established. We was there to help out with the building. Because the church is the body of Christ. It's me and you, it's who we are. But if you know without a shadow of a doubt in your heart that you've been born again, you slip your hand up this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All hands down. If you say preaching, my prayer life's not where it's supposed to be. Some of us heard last Sunday night on the power of fasting and prayer. We heard what God's blueprint was for Esther to say, hey, We can make this happen, but we'll have to pray and fast for 3 days. We're going to see tonight what happens when you do that. Amen. But this, if you need help with your prayer life, there's only one person who can help with your prayer life. It's not me. It's not your mom. It's not your dad. It's God. God can send the Holy Spirit to you to help you out. You say, and I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand because this is a little personal. But you'll know when your heart and the Holy Spirit will tell you. Say, preacher, I really don't pray for the church the way that I should. I don't pray for you the way I should. I don't pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ the way I should. And I know some of them's going through valley, but I just forget. Now don't raise your hand. I want you to think about that question. Saying, Lord, could you help me? Could you help me to where I remember to pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ and the body of Christ that you allow me to assemble with every week? Maybe there's one here today that says, preacher, I pray. I pray all the time. I pray for you. I pray for everybody. But I'm not sure if I'm saved. If you're not saved, your prayers are not even reaching the ceiling of this roof. You have no access to the throne room of grace. I want to ask you, there's one here today that says, preacher, I'm not saved, but will you pray for me? Will you slip your hand up? Amen. Amen. Anybody this morning would like to come to the altar, you can come on. Love for you to come and pray.